purposely want.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WAPC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 5. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the battle cry during the Trump campaign, Twisted Sister. Although others said to the band, why are you letting Donald Trump use this out on the campaign trail? They said, ixnay to that. It could be his theme song, and it certainly was. And Donald Trump, in advocating that he's not going to take it anymore, has used Twitter on a regular basis to fight back against members of the Fourth Estate, the media, and perceived and real enemies. And in the drive home at 5 here, boy, did he go on a Twitter rampage earlier today in which he wrote, maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all future press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy. This on the very day that Sean Spicer was back from his Naval Reserve duty where he was swabbing the poop deck. And he had to get into the hot seat earlier today. But then probably the most troubling of all the tweets was when he took off after the former FBI director, James Comey, who he sacked, and he tweeted out that James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. And naturally, when Sean Spicer was all of a sudden in the hot seat, he had to deal with that today at the White House press briefing.
His conversations with former FBI Director Comey.
I assume you're referring to the tweet, and I've talked to the president. The president has nothing further to add on that.
Why did he say that? Why did he tweet that? What should we interpret from that?
As I mentioned, the president has nothing further to add on that.
Are there recording devices in the Oval Office or in the residence?
As I said for the third time, there is nothing further to add on that.
Does he think it's appropriate to threaten someone like Mr. Comey not to speak?
I don't think that's not a threat. He's simply stated a fact. The tweet speaks for itself. I'm moving on. John.
And then he dealt with the whole topic of collusion with Russia during the Trump campaign.
I think the president's comments about Russia and collusion have been very clear with respect to some of the charges that have been made. He's been very clear that it's one thing that he believes that the notion that there's collusion is a hoax. It's been reaffirmed by several people, including Senator Grassley and others who have spoken to him, and that he wants to make sure that he's focused every day on doing what's best for the American people.
I understand all that, because you've said that many times, but how is the U.S. tearing itself apart?
Well, I think obviously this has been a subject that comes up over and over again when it's been very clearly stated on multiple occasions that there's no collusion that occurred, and yet this narrative continues to be perpetuated.
Wow. Boy, was he cool, calm, and collected, Sean Spicer. He probably took a personal day the last few days just to chill out instead of Howard Stern's personal day. Sean Spicer had two on the line to discuss that. Christopher Hahn, you've heard him here before. He substituted for Ron Kuby, whose mommy is a commie. He's also a radio show host in his own right and a frequent pinata who gets beaten up on the Fox News channel. Thanks for joining us again here on the Drive Home at 5, Christopher.
Hey, great to be here, Curtis.
Now, notice with the return of Sean Spicer after being away 2 days as he was swabbing the poop deck, had to do Naval Reserve duty. Man, he was cool, calm, and collected in handling a very hostile press. Do you think he was under the influence of Prozac?
He must have been under the influence of something. I'll tell you, they got legal marijuana in Washington, D.C., so I would smell his fingertips and see what's going on there.
Now, what did you make of the tweet that the president sent out earlier today saying that James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversation before he starts leaking to the press?
My first thought was, I hope to God there are tapes. I hope to God there are tapes. Because, and I'm starting to think there are tapes, because both the president in his interview with my friend Jeanine Pirro earlier today and Sean Spicer from the podium today would not confirm nor deny that there were tapes. So I'm starting to think that there are tapes there. And if there are tapes there, they are eventually going to come out because that's what happens with tapes.
Well,
let's see.
Well, I can remember as a kid growing up watching the Watergate hearings because they were aired live during the middle of the day, you know, and knocked out all the soap operas on CBS, NBC, ABC. But I'll never forget there was that moment when the chief minority counsel later went on to become a great actor, a presidential candidate, Fred Thompson, asked some guy, I forget what his name was, I think Butterfield, hey, by the way, is there an installation of any listening devices in the Oval Office of the president? And Butterfield refused to answer that question until he just got hammered over and over and then finally admitted that Nixon had spent the money to not only wire up the Oval Office to record all conversations, but he had all cabinet meetings conversations recorded and his conversations in the executive office across the street, which is where he held private meetings.
You know, that this just goes to show that this president was so unprepared to be president. He doesn't even remember presidential history that was worldwide front page news for 2 years during his 30s. I don't understand how this man is our president. His tweets have become more increasingly unhinged by the day. And I got news for everybody who thinks we're going to be talking about reform and health and building walls. We're not talking about anything until there is a full hearing of what has just happened with James Comey.
All right, but James Comey was invited to come up and speak before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Tuesday. He has said, ixnay, I'm not going to be there yet. Why are you so upset at the sacking of Comey? Because as a hardcore Christopher Hahn, liberal, progressive Democrat, there was a chorus. There were sirens calling for him to be sacked in the aftermath of the election. Why all of a sudden are those same Democrats, led by your former boss, the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer?
Hey, now hold on a minute. Wait. I cannot let this Chuck Schumer stuff go. I'm old enough to remember when you didn't run against him, Curtis. When you didn't have the stones, the onions, the gajules to go run against my former boss. So say you're sorry.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, the flip of the script, before, a few months before, he didn't trust him. He lost all faith in James Comey. Those were his words, not mine.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, he's taking him off the crucifix, and he's making him into a victim. Yeah, so he crucified him first, and now he's taking him off the crucifix.
No. You put the martyr on the crucifix, Curtis. I don't know if you remember your catechism. You put the martyr on the crucifix. No, here's the deal. I do not think that everything James Comey did was good. In fact, I was outraged by the way he handled the Clinton thing. But to think that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, fired James Comey over the way he handled the Clinton investigation is just bizarre. And anybody who would believe that is just fooling themselves. The president in January decided to keep James Comey. James Comey is a lot of things, but one thing he surely is independent. And this guy was being independent, and the president, it appears, fired him for his independence. So that is why Democrats like Chuck Schumer and others are very much outraged and want to know what's going on. What's more troubling to me is that Republicans are not as outraged. And when they need to start putting country first and understanding that this president has just attempted to obstruct justice. And this is a very bad thing for our republic.
Now, if it turns out that the president is absolutely Jack Diddley Squad correct, that in fact on three separate occasions, FBI director, then James Comey, told him, you are not the target of our investigation, would you be willing to do a mea culpa, bow buck, and fold like a cheap camera and apologize to the president?
The director of the FBI, under oath in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said that they were investigating the Trump campaign's ties to Russia. President Trump was in charge of the Trump campaign. He has always said he's this great manager. So whether or not he was directly a target, he was like a thread in a cheap suit made in Taiwan, like a Trump suit. Once you start pulling it, you don't know where it's going to lead.
Okay, but Christopher,
where it led.
Christopher, Washington is a sea of leaks. There's no doubt there are leaks coming out of the White House. We read stories every day. There's leaks coming from the intelligence agencies, the old Obamaites, the present Trumpites.
Right.
It's just one big leak. And yet, in 7 months of an investigation of the Russian ties to the Trump campaign, if there was collusion, no smoking gun that leads to the president whatsoever. Because you know somebody would have dropped it by now.
Well, look, here's the thing. I originally thought, and I said it to you on this show and on your afternoon show with Curtis and Kuby when I fill in, I never thought that the president was directly involved with colluding with Russia. I thought it might be a mid-level staffer or something like that. But once the president fired Comey, I started thinking differently. It just doesn't make any sense to me that at this moment in time, the president would make this decision and then give that ridiculous excuse for doing it. There's something up here, and I think it behooves us all to get an independent prosecutor in there or a special commission to try to figure out exactly what happened. We have another election in less than 18 months. We don't need the Russians deciding that one, too.
Do appreciate that. That's Christopher Hahn. He substituted here before for Ron Kuby, whose mommy is a commie, and you could oftentimes see him beaten up like a human pinata on the Fox News channel as their resident Democrat, liberal, and progressive.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Those who practice like you.
Deep into the headlines. Deep into the streets.
This is good.
Deep into your eyeballs.
How disgusting.
Studio View is live right now. WABCRadio.com.
Auga! Auga! Oh, I can remember a time where yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, with the mighty Whitey the Snow Bro, I was hosting house parties in Brownsville, never ran, never would. And I'd be playing the Parliament Funkadelics, this tune, man, right out of Maggot Brain, and all of a sudden there'd be a knock at the door. NYPD, open up, all right, yo, 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 fuzz. We're going to lower the music. Don't worry about it. You don't need to take your truncheons out and give us beatdowns. See, you used to get one warning, and if they came back, they'd take the Daisy Chain Perp Walk facility out, and you'd all be going in the paddy wagon to the local precinct. But apparently, according to Larry Salona in his article in the New York Post, that may no longer be the case. Thanks for joining us here on the Drive Home at 5, Larry.
How you doing, Curtis?
I've had better days.
Yeah, okay. That's right. The new law, the NYPD no longer will be able to tell go into somebody's house if they refuse to lower their stereo equipment and take it, which is what they've been doing for the previous several years. And that all changed effective last week.
So this weekend will be a party weekend starting tonight. So if somebody, let's say, were blasting loud music at 2 o'clock in the morning, there are a number of 911 calls made, the local cops in the precinct respond, what are they supposed to do now under this new rule and regulation, Larry?
Well, they could knock on the door, ask them to lower it. If the people refuse, basically they have to turn around and go away. There's nothing they can do. Or what they can do is they could come back the next day and give a summons. The next day, which is crazy. But now, that's what they can do.
Now, I got to believe this wasn't cops who devised this new strategy, but probably lawyers somewhere, maybe corporation counsel or within the police department themselves, because it doesn't make sense.
It's the police department's legal department who made the decision. And the reason being is, because over, like the same thing we saw back in the days with drug dealers and all, people smarten up and they, instead of getting, they form an offensive and they complain. CCRB complaints against the cops for coming into their apartment using excessive force. So they put the cops on the defensive, which we saw that happen in the past with drug dealers where they used to make complaints against cops. So that's what they're doing now with this. In fact, there's one case in Brooklyn where they're actually suing a captain in a precinct, and there's some talk now that the city might not even indemnify him, where he's going to have to get his own lawyer, which is totally crazy. So I think the city said, you know, there's too many complaints, we don't want to deal with this legally, and that's why they're telling the cops, you know, just to turn around and walk away.
Well, the other problem, Larry, a lot different than when I used to host house parties in the 70s, is nowadays I could have a party and invite you, Larry, and your friends. And then all of a sudden somebody puts it on Facebook and there's a flash mob. And now instead of 40 people, there are 400 people. There are fights. There's all kinds of problems that I hadn't anticipated. Mm-hmm. And so if the cops come to the scene, they're basically, well, they're impotent. They're not permitted to do anything, right?
Their hands are tied. And that's what the problem is nowadays. Of course, now if you see a party and you hear the loud music at 2 in the morning, like you said, whether they do it on social media, they hear it. Everybody shows up, so a backyard party becomes, instead of maybe 50 people, 500 people, and that's not an exaggeration. And now, that's where you hit.
Now, has the police commissioner O'Neill addressed this? Has somebody sort of said to him, "Hey, you know, this is going to make our life miserable in the streets as line officers responding to 911 calls."
Like I said, you know, we did the story yesterday, you know, we raised that concern. I mean, he hasn't made any decision to counter the legal department's memo. So right now it's still in effect as of this afternoon and this weekend. But like I said, that's a complaint that a lot of cops, you know, out in the street have. This is only going to be a recipe for violence. You know, there's going to be large parties, people are going to come to a party where they're going to be told to turn away. You know how that goes. They walk into their car, get a gun, come back, shoot the place up. Somebody looks at the wrong girl, somebody else's girlfriend, a fight ensues. And, you know, plus there's a lot of drinking. And these are all recipes, like I said, for disaster.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks, Larry. Great gumshoe reporter for the New York Post over the years for bringing this to our attention. This is crazy. Hey, look, I remember I was guilty. I had house parties, Parliament Funkadelic, Raise the Roof, Party Hardy. People would be complaining, calling 911, right? They want to come and lock us all up. And I'd say, hey, oh, chill, chill. I'll do the talking here. I'm the white boy. Hey, yo, 5-0, you're absolutely right. We're going to lower the music. In fact, we're going to unplug it. Just give me 15 to 20 minutes to clear out. And the cops would say, yeah, but if we come back, we're going to be swinging and winging. And you, white boy, are going to be the first to go on the daisy chain perp walk.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this scene better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
Hey, lobster boy. That's right. It's good to see you go, Joseph Ponte. Oh, I hate you. I despise you. I loathe you. It's time to return to where the moose and the caribou play. And up there in Maine, you could attend the moose, the local Moose Lodge meeting every Tuesday night and give out your moose call. What a double disgrazia. What a double shanda. And even though he resigned today, although he should have impaled himself on a shiv that had been stuck up some blood's tuchus who wanted to slice and dice some inmate in a dormitory or on a tier, the mayor, I don't know if Pont has pictures of Comrade Bill de Blasio, you know, doing the nasty, nasty with donkeys south of the border, you know, in Ensenada, south of Tijuana. But listen to what the mayor had to say again about his homeboy, Joseph Pont.
I am so convinced that this obsession with the vehicles is missing the facts. Fact is, he fundamentally reformed Rikers Island and the correction system. That's what he came here to do.
What? What did he reform? What did he reform? Let me give you an example. Let's take it back to the days of Mike Kumbadichich, Rudy Giuliani, who was the mayor in 1993 after beating David Dinkins the second time. After a brief interim, he put Bernard Kerik in charge of the correctional system of the city of New York, which at that time was out of control. In fact, right prior to Giuliani's election, the correctional officers stormed out of their facility at Rikers Island and held it in lockdown and beat the living daylights out of the inmates. Anarchy reigned. So Bernard Kerik came in, and I'm no fan of Bernie Kerik. He's got a lot of problems. But when he became the correctional chief, there were 18,500 inmates in the system. Now there are 10,000. There was less crime, less slashings, less abuse by correctional officers of inmates, less abuse of inmates to correctional officers, the screws, and less abuse of inmates to other inmates. Now, how could that be? Did the inmates all of a sudden suddenly change? You have half the number of inmates. And under Joseph Pont, his budget almost doubled. Even though he's only taking care of half the number of inmates now that Bernard Kerik was taken care of during the Giuliani administration. And if you want to take on the question of why Pont had to resign now, because let's face it, if he didn't resign, he'd have to be pushed over the edge. He takes a city-owned car, and he knows better than that, and he's going driving with Miss Daisy up to Maine in the midst of all the mishigash taking place in the city jail system. That's 450 miles away. And along the way, you think he's paying with his own easy pass? No. You think he's paying for the gas with his own chump change? No. It's at the sucker taxpayer's expense. And the mayor, what did he do? He blew it off by saying, hey, I just submitted a budget for billions and billions of dollars. What do you think? I'm worried about a few hundred shekels? Yeah, you ought to be worried about that, because his whole upper management was guilty of the same kind of shakedown of the taxpayers. But then again, this commissioner didn't even read the report that came to the conclusion that you had to close Rikers Island and then break up the jail system, build smaller jails, put them in the outer boroughs, although not in Staten Island, according to comrade Bill de Blasio, because he didn't want to piss everybody off in Staten Island like Ed Koch did years ago with Ralph Lamberti, the borough president, when they put wanted a jail out there, and then all of a sudden Guy Molinari left Congress, ran as a Republican, and beat Ralph Lamberti as the borough president. I understand all of that, but just let me give you an idea of a normal kind of a problem. Exhibit A, Stephen Sidbury, 25, a Brooklyn resident, was sent to Albany County Jail to separate him from the Bloods gang that runs so many of the tiers in Rikers Island. Sidbury, who was charged with murder and arson, was involved in more than 40 violent assaults in borough jails before his transfer. 40 violent assaults. As part of the deal, Pont agreed to pay the cash-strapped Albany County Jail $100 a day to supervise Sidbury, who was widely known by his nickname, John Doe. But it didn't last for long. Sidbury, being the mutant, a cretin with chromosome damage that he is, slashed an inmate with a shiv, hitting up his tuchus. That's right, the knife was hitting up his tuchus. He slashes the inmate. The Albany County Jail is up there. The fuddy-duddies say, hey, man, we're not prepared to deal with this. And they shipped him right on back to New York. And guess what? He slashed a rival detainee in the face in March. And this is the kind of a system that Pont was in charge of. Ineffective, guilty of malfeasance, and you know this guy's going to have the onions, the culions, to ask that they sweeten up his pension as he leaves and he goes back where the caribou and the moose roam and where he can go hunting for lobsters off the Atlantic coast there in Maine, you know, with his lobster boxes. Let me just tell you something, Pond. It is so good to see you go. The problem is now you have a union that is out of control. Under Seabrook, he's on his way to jail. You have inmates who control the prison system, and you have a management that's missing in action. Hey, comrade Bill de Blasio, that part-time mayor, that dope from Park Slope that you are, you better really get serious and get somebody or a team of men and women into that correctional facility to put those inmates in lockdown.
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, didn't you?
What is that, Billy Joel downstairs preparing for his monthly concert? I hate Billy Joel with the bugaboo eyes, friend of Jimmy Dolan, that dysfunctional owner of the Rangers and the Knicks. But let's put that aside. The reason we're talking about Big Shot is Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie decided to actually function as the governor of the state of New Jersey. And he came to Shrewsbury on Thursday morning to celebrate the opening of a Seabrook House outpatient drug and alcohol treatment facility. But not everyone was there to cheer. In fact, dozens of protesters chanted and shouted during the ribbon-cutting ceremony calling for the facility on White Street to be relocated due to its proximity to Shrewsbury's Borough School. But the governor wasn't going to hear any of that because, you know, he's the opioid czar now. You know, he's the man that Donald Trump has been in charge, put in charge of, is going to deal with the opioid problems and epidemic across the nation and also the heroin abuse. So instead of meeting with the parents and the concerned residents of Shrewsbury, who may have had some real base concerns, He got on a stump and he did what Chris Christie does best, and he just started to demean his detractors.
The people over there who are chanting. What I will guarantee you is that the kids in that school, the kids in that school, by all the statistics in New Jersey, will need drug and alcohol treatment, and you will be the same people who will complain that there's not enough. This ignorant NIMBY attitude will not be stood for in New Jersey. I won't stand for it. You can yell as much as you want, but we are going to help people who need to be helped despite your ignorance and your intolerance.
Not in my backyard, really. You are like missing in action for like years, Governor Christie in New Jersey. And then he referred to his own family situation. And Justin B. Love, our producer of The Drive Home at 5, you're really going to have to check it out. Listen to what Shamuel Hefe said in attacking the crowd.
I'll say one other thing to those folks who rather yell than listen. Rather yell than listen. I have 4 children, and we have a treatment facility in our neighborhood. We have a treatment facility in our neighborhood, and our kids have been safe for all 20 years that we've lived there. So wake up and deal with the problem, and you can yell all you like. Much better than you have yelled at me over the last 7.5 years, and I'll ignore you just the way I ignored them. Thank you all very much.
No, hold on a second. The governor raised his family in Mendham, spends very little time in Drumthwacket, the governor's mansion. Justin B. Love, can you find out where the drug and alcohol rehab clinic in Mendham is in proximity to the nearby schools? Because if this governor would just have cleaned his ears out and listened to the concern of the parents and the residents of Shrewsbury, they weren't saying that they didn't need a drug and alcohol rehab center. What they said, it should be relocated due to its proximity to the Shrewsboro Borough School. They were saying, yeah, we need it in this area. You're absolutely correct, but not in proximity to the school. And don't stand there so pretentiously, Governor Chris Christie, and act like there haven't been problems around rehab centers for drug abuse and for alcohol abuse. Are you kidding? There's oftentimes been problems right outside where all of a sudden the very same addicts who are going into the rehab center for treatment are coming out and they're dealing in the street trade of all kinds of illicit and illegal drugs. Yeah, that's happened from time to time. So let's not act like, oh, putting a drug or an alcohol rehab center in, it's like putting in a pre-kindergarten class for those who are like 4 years old or 5 years old. Okay, can I hear that Chris Christie attacking these people again at Shrewsbury?
I'll say one other thing to those folks who rather yell than listen. Rather yell than listen. I have 4 children, and we have a treatment facility in our neighborhood. We have a treatment facility in our neighborhood, and our kids have been safe for all 20 years that we've lived there. So wake up and deal with the problem, and you can yell all you like. Much better than you have yelled at me over the last 7.5 years, and I'll ignore you just the way I ignored them. Thank you all very much.
And like you've ignored the people of New Jersey for all these years, with the lowest percentage of support of any governor in the history of New Jersey, including Jim McGreedy. What a disgrazia you are, Shamu.